the newly crowned all-time leading trainer, Dale Romans.
Well, Chef Edward Lee,
I'm honored to be with Dan Issel.
I'm at the offices of Louisville Public Media.
Stephen George,
budding country music star,
J.D. Shelburne.
Rocky Adkins is with us.
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show, Louisville's longest-running and most interesting podcast. Join Rick Redding, your host, as he talks with some of the city's most interesting individuals. The city's leaders in politics, business, sports, and the arts join Rick in lively one-on-one interviews, taking on the topics that are making news in the Ville. Right now, Rick's ready to get the show rolling in the Louisville.am studio. Here's Rick.
And here we are back with another exciting episode of the Rusty Satellite Show, home of the most interesting people in the Ville. And I've not failed you this week one more time. I have two really great guests I'm going to tell you about in just a second. First, I'm going to introduce, I have a guest co-host, Sam Heine is here. Sam, welcome to the show.
How you doing, Louisville?
All right. Sam is a young man. Are you a millennial? Do you get that title?
You could lump me in the millennial.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm officially in the baby boomer. I'm the tail end of the baby boomers. You're a millennial. Graduate of Atherton High School and the University of Louisville, and you're interested in podcasting, right?
Yeah, I am. Okay. I think it's a cool art, you know, and so I'm just a fly on the wall today.
Okay. I'm going to make you participate a little bit, but I'm sure it's really something that happens to you all the time. You say, my name's Sam Heine, and whoever you're introducing yourself says what?
Says, oh, are you related to the Heine brothers? Are you a Heine brother?
Are you one of them?
I'm one of the Heine brothers. Yeah, it runs in the family, and it was cool. I grew up in the coffee shops, so
okay,
yeah, it's interesting upbringing.
So your father is one of the founders, right?
Yeah, Gary Heine. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, they put coffee in my baby bottle when I was a young buck, so I'm running on the stuff.
That's now. Good. Well, good. I guess you learned to like coffee.
I did. Very early on. I didn't have a choice.
All right. Well, Mike Mays is one of our favorite guests on this show. He's been in here a couple of times. So glad to have you. Glad to have you on the show. And going to get your opinions and comments on some stuff. First of all, I'll tell you about our guest. In the second part of the show, we're going to have Melissa Swan. You remember her?
Yes.
Yeah. Former. Believe it or not, it's been 3 years since Melissa was left her job at WHS-TV as an anchor. And she's been very busy, and we're going to talk about some of that and about her potential for becoming a podcaster herself. So that's going to be fun. And
everybody's in the biz.
Well, you know, the thing about podcasting is it's easy to get into, but sustaining to, you know, not everybody's going to do 292 consecutive weekly shows like I do, but
got to stay the course.
Stay the course. There's some secrets to it. And here at Louisville.am, we are helping people get into the podcast business like Sam and like Melissa. So there you go. That's what's happening. But my first guest I'm really excited about, he is Kevin Grangier. Now, Sam, you know who he is?
In the restaurant business, correct?
Correct. He is. I just got back from there at Grasa Grama in Holiday Manor, and it is a spectacular looking place, and I understand the food is tremendous. Earlier this year on Eat, Drink, Talk, we had the breaking news when Kevin hired the chef, Rob Rice, who I ran into over there. And the place is just spectacular. Kevin has a unique approach to designing restaurants. You know him from Lamu and the Village Anchor. He has Kevin's Picnic in Anchorage as well. And he's an innovator. He is dedicated to style and is a hands-on manager. So I got a chance to sit down with him in the new place where they are right now. They've been open about 3 or 4 weeks. He's still calling it this soft opening, so the hard opening is like the first part of February, coming up very soon, and spectacular. You're going to love the interview. Before we get to that, I want to mention my sponsors are Passport Health Plan, the Eye Care Institute, and Heiser Health, all of which are very important to the success of this show. So thanks to them. And it's about time for us to get going here. Sam, this is how we do the open. And we will, Sam and I will be back after you hear this great interview from Kevin Grangier.
Here we go.
I admit, I used to think people addicted to painkillers just needed to toughen up, until it happened to my daughter. She really needed help. Thanks to Passport, we got it for her. Our doctor and our Passport case manager made sure she got the services and treatment she needed. Together, we got through it.
Find out how you can get Passport at passporthealthplan.com/together. Passport Health Plan. We're in this together.
And today, the Rusty Satellite Show is one of the coolest places in town, Grasse Grama. And Kevin Grangier, congratulations on this. It's like a masterpiece, right?
It's like a masterpiece. Mm. I had a blank palette, but I don't know anything about painting.
I'm looking at all the little details in this restaurant and am amazed that you had a hand in or personally selected everything here.
Yeah, look, you know, that's kind of what I do, all of the restaurants. The thing that motivates me is the ability to go in and make something come to fruition that I vision.
Right.
And really the only person who can do that is me, because I'm the only one who really knows, you know, the vision. So I'm very active in the design and build of all the restaurants. Grasse was a little more extreme because the palette was actually much bigger. I started with I totally bulldozed, you know, the restaurant. There was nothing, not even the floor.
I kind of remember this place before, and it doesn't look anything like it.
It's very different. You know, it was an Asian, a Chinese restaurant before Grasse was here, and you know, had a very successful life. It was here 35 years almost. So, but it was definitely time to make it something a little more, what I, you know, appealing and a little more that meets customers' demands in this geography.
Well, I know that, and as that happens with restaurants, sometimes you were scheduled to open a little earlier than you did, but you've been open about a month.
Yeah, we're just this weekend or next weekend we'll be starting our hard launch. So we anticipated being in soft launch for 30 days, which is about what it's been. We opened very, very late. You're very kind. It was actually like 6 months late. Two reasons. One, it was a very difficult and extreme build. And second was because everything here is custom.
Sure.
You know, it just took a lot longer to do than what any of us anticipated.
Okay. Well, I've read some of the early reviews online, and I was listening, and while I was waiting on you, the woman answering the phone downstairs, she was having to tell people you were full. So demand, I guess things, I'm guessing there have been hiccups, but it seems like the opening has been...
I mean, I'm thrilled with the reviews, obviously. I mean, almost all of them are 5-star. Of course, there are a few that are not, but... thrilled with the number of people we've been able to bring in here in these last 4 weeks during our soft period, which, by the way, is really a training period. It's the chef's training, the server's training. It's us really the opportunity to take, you know, a month to get it as right as we possibly can. And I'm very proud of the team that's making this happen. Obviously, they do all the work inside once the customer gets here. So they're critical to understanding what my vision is and understanding what the final product needs to be. And then the servers, you know, this is a time that they need to learn the menu and learn customer preferences and learn, you know, the drinks. And, you know, it's a time for everybody to get comfortable with what's going to happen really probably around Valentine's Day.
Sure.
The opening.
Yeah. Well, I know it's every step is a crucial step, but we had your chef on one of our podcasts earlier, Rob Rice, and tell me how that's going and how important it was to get someone of his caliber in here.
Well, Chef is, you're right, he's a very respected, successful chef. He comes from Los Angeles with a lot of solid restaurant brand experience from there. You know, I wanted to do two things. I needed, there are a lot of great chefs in town, obviously, but I specifically went out looking for someone with Italian experience, not in this area, because I wanted something new, and it wasn't at all that I don't think there are some good Italian restaurants in town with who serve great food. It was really more I wanted a different face and a different profile of the food, and just a different something unique to us.
Right.
And I had to do that with a new face, and I had to do that with experience that didn't happen in this area. And that was really my only objective. And it hasn't created challenges for us from the standpoint that he's from LA and I'm from here, but there is definitely a difference between, you know, preferences and almost colloquial preferences in you know, local taste compared to the West Coast. And, you know, it's a learning experience for Chef Rob to understand the customer to the degree that they're actually going to come in here and spend money on food that's on his menu. But it's also a chance for the customer to get to learn Chef Rob and his unique flavors and sort of the variety of food that he brings with him from the West Coast.
Okay. So, well, in your background, I mean, you had a whole successful life before you got in the restaurant industry. And that, I mean, you're certainly not just a local guy.
Right? No. I am a local guy, but I, like many, left when I was in my late 20s, early around 30 when I guess I was. And, you know, that definitely, the places I've lived and the significant amount of traveling that I've done because of my old career, which was communication, PR, marketing, brand development. I had clients definitely all over the U.S. and some quite a bit of work around the world. And that certainly has played a role in my design and build of all of the restaurants, because even I can't say there's one restaurant that I really built after something else I'd seen, but you know, when you've done that much travel and seen different places, you can't help but be influenced by those things.
Yeah. Well, let's talk just for a second about the restaurants, because you know, the thing about your restaurants, they all have this sort of reputation, you know. And to me, Lamu, you know, it's a steakhouse, but it's got the
bells and whistles.
It's got the whole thing and the thing on Sundays, the Sunday brunches with the
drag show.
That's what, 2-3 years old?
We just finished 3 years.
3 years.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's going well.
They're all doing well. You know, every time I start another one, I have to walk away from the one I just did.
Yeah.
To focus on, you know, the current project. And I'm thrilled that, you know, business at both of those restaurants continue to build year over year, and I haven't seen any slowing of that really. And I think it's because we spend so much time training and hiring and making sure, again, the people understand what our values are. And that, you know, it is food, there's no question, but there are four pillars that I instill in every single person who works in my restaurants, and those four pillars support what I call the brand experience. And they are, in no particular order, but they are alcohol, service, environment, and food. Those are the four pillars, and all four of them are worth, you know, 25%. They're all four important. You can have fantastic food and have, you know, a really crappy server. You can't have one without the other, and those four things, in my opinion, are, you know, support the canopy that's the experience.
Yeah.
So they're all very important, and it's the same thing in all three restaurants. And while visually all the restaurants are stimulating, and that's by design, and they all have a reason for everything in it, there's a reason for it. But at the end of the day, it's about, when you walk out of here, are you going to say, I'll be back? And that really is what it's about. And what are you going to tell those people?
Yeah.
Because we don't do advertising. You know, we do social media, and that's it. And I'm blessed every day to have a management team, a leadership team, that recognizes the importance of making sure the customer leaves here with good things to say.
Well, as the guy in charge, and with all these restaurants to divide your time with, how do you decide what to do each day? I mean, where do you decide to spend your time?
Well, I stay very involved. I mean, every day is filled with meetings. I have a very long day. I mean, I get up at, you know, now late in my mind, it's 7 or 8 o'clock, but that's late for me, traditionally.
Sure.
And I'm in meetings. I do work all day long, and then I come in to here in the afternoon and get the restaurant open. And then after 7 or 8 o'clock, I decide what I'm going to do. I'll either go to another restaurant, or I will go home and feed my animals and go straight to bed. But you know, again, I have a great team. So if I sense trouble at any one of them or concerns, yes, I'm Johnny on the spot. But doesn't happen very often, and I'm pleased about that.
Okay. Well, in one of the interviews you did earlier, you said you had other concepts in mind, and this was like a next one.
Yeah.
what else are you thinking about?
You know, I'm I'm too thoughtful to tell you what my idea is because only because it probably will change 100 times. But, you know, I'm interested in a Mexican restaurant. I'm interested in a sushi restaurant. I'm interested in a seafood restaurant.
But so, not so much in duplicating any of the restaurants you've already got.
No, because that's the creativity for me. You know, I've thought about putting a Village Anchor in Southern Indiana because I think out of all the ones I have, that's probably the easiest to duplicate.
Sure.
And I think it has mass appeal and could travel a little bit, but I'm not there yet. I'm more right now at being able to showcase what I've just longed to do, and that is create and develop positive customer experiences. And the way that I get to do that is doing new things.
Sure. Well, I'm not sure that I'm pretty sure you probably didn't invent this thing, but you know, the wine special you have on Wednesdays. Uh-huh. The first place I ever heard of that was at Village Anchor.
Yeah.
And I guess that's still a big success, right?
Yeah, it's at Village Anchor and Limu. And, you know, the reason I did that is because I'm all about people gathering together and having fun. Wednesday is not necessarily a slow night for us, but that really wasn't the point. The point is, what can we do to bring people in this case, women, who want to sit around and drink, have price bottles of wine, and have something light to eat. And arguably, we don't have a menu filled with light things, but we do have a great wine menu. So it's been very successful for us in both restaurants. No, I didn't invent it. I can't tell you who was doing it when I do it because I don't look at that really. But I know there are a couple other restaurants doing it in town, and that's great. It just drives even more, you know, the concept.
Okay. Well, last thing, since we're here at Grass Grama, I come in. What do you recommend I get?
Well,
really,
well, of course,
question.
I'm going to say, you know, we're just in soft launch, so you're only seeing a part of our menu, probably 40% of it. But you know, I will take this a second to tell you the significance of what's going on in the kitchen, and absolutely everything in that kitchen is house prepared. Everything, the pasta, the tomatoes come from Italy. You know, there's a guy who sits back there and makes 7 different kinds of pasta all day long and at night. And we have, you know, three bakery people, 1 bakery chef, 1 pasta chef. So much time is spent in the ingredients and actually building the product. That said, the menu's fabulous. However, I am a fan of traditional dishes.
Uh-huh.
So my go-to in every Italian restaurant, whether it's mine or otherwise, is bolognese. Bolognese is to me that by which a restaurant should be measured. And ours has 3 different kinds of meat in it. It has beef and veal and something else. I'm not going to sausage, I think, maybe, but I'm not sure. And it's amazing. And I can't get past it. Of course, I taste everything. But so I would say one of the more traditional dishes, at least for your first time in, so you can really see taste the authenticity of the food.
Okay. I'll take you up on that. I'll get in line to get a reservation.
Yeah, I can get you a reservation. You know, always I'll say this, you know, Open Table is who we use, but you can always go to the website also.
Sure.
And try the website. But also just call the restaurant directly.
Okay. All right. Well, Kevin, congratulations again. Another great move for the city of Louisville. And thanks for being on the show.
You're welcome. Thank you for your interest in my projects.
And a big thank you to Kevin Grangier. He's a busy guy. And you can make your reservations out there at Grassa Grama if you'd like. It sounds like, what is that, bolognese that I'm going to have to try whenever I go, which will be soon. It sounds very good. Sam Heine is with me in the studios here at Louisville.am. And, Sam, you got, like, favorite restaurants around town?
Mayan Cafe, Market Street. That's probably my runaway favorite. It's a little more expensive, but, you know, if I'm feeling more, like, you know, pinching the pocketbook, I go to Royal's Hot Chicken. I don't know if you're familiar.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, I like both of those. I like the plantains over there at mine. I'm a sucker for plantains.
It's just different.
For some reason.
Just different food, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all good. So, Sam, your real job is a realtor, right?
I'm a realtor here in town, yeah.
And yes, anybody can... if I need help finding a new studio, I will. I'll certainly come to you.
I'm already on it. I'm already on it.
Very good. Very good. Well, this show, for those of you who are tuning in for the first time, I talk in this segment about some things that are going on in my life or things that I've read or seen. In this it's a rare thing for me to actually read a book, but I do pay attention when one of my idols, A.J. Jacobs, comes out with a book, and he's got this book called Thanks a Thousand. And we all need a little more gratitude in our life, don't we?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Well, A.J.'s theory is that there are all kinds of positive effects of thanking people. And he set about a book project to thank everyone involved in, you'll love this, making his cup of coffee. So his project was, he thought he would go around and personally thank all the people involved in getting his cup of coffee at Joe Coffee in New York.
Like on down to the growing countries?
Yeah, he went to South America and went to the plantation where they grow the beans. He talked to the people in the warehouses where they ship it, and the roasters, and down to, of course, his barista and all that. So very entertaining.
Yeah, no, that's awesome.
A very very short book, but it sure got me thinking about, like, what have we got to go, if we really made an effort to go thank people for the things they do that make our lives better.
Absolutely, yeah. And coffee's so, you know, run of the mill these days.
Yeah.
You run to the corner store and you can grab a cup of coffee. You don't think that, you know, it comes from such a remote place.
You think there's three people involved, and really there's 1,000 at least.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
So highly recommend the book. A.J. Jacobs, he's a great author. He wrote the books A Year of Living Biblically, where he tried to adopt all the religious customs from the Bible. And my favorite was Mr. Know-It-All, where he read the Encyclopedia Britannica A to Z in a year.
Man.
Those are books. He's got a nice shtick going, I guess. But anyway, I recommend you pick that up. But big local news, big local celebrity news, Sam. I'm sure you're disappointed. You're about the right age. I don't guess you ever went out with Jennifer Lawrence when she was here.
I wish.
No, you should have.
Yeah, no, it's funny, though, that she's from around there. She's such a big star these days. But, you know, I had a couple of friends that ran with her back in the day, and look at her now.
Yeah.
National superstar.
Well, she it was just announced, a big deal in all the local media, that she's now engaged to some dude. And it's not another actor. I can't remember his name. But anyway, she's off the market. Okay.
I'll cross her off my list.
Okay. Well, I think the funniest thing that happened this week to me was watching, Louisville's having a great basketball season. Chris Mack, the new coach. And tell me what happened, Sam. What went down that wasn't really basketball related there?
Little hiccup that Chris Mack had. You know, it looked like he was just, I was, you know, I watched the interview a couple of different times, and it just looked like he was in the zone, and
he's coming off the court at halftime, and they do those silly little, like, 15 to 30 second interviews, and with Allison Williams was the reporter for ESPN, and you know, there was a especially heated moments right before halftime. Mac disagreed with one of the officials' calls, and he was flustered, I think.
Yeah, he looked flustered. He looked like he wanted to be back coaching the guys in the locker room. He looked like he just didn't have a thought.
And coaches never look like they want to be there with that halftime interview. But he was, you know, especially came off rude. He caught a lot of criticism in social media. You know, anything you do is magnified.
Oh yeah,
right. We normally, in normal times, would have just laughed this off and all that, but he had to actually come out a few days later and apologize for her.
I've never seen that happen with Chris Mack either.
I can't
really name a time that I've seen him look anything other than put together in those instances. They always seem so well spoken, but
certainly. But you're a U of L grad. You're a big fan of what's going on over there, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. What a story. I mean, I thought we could have went ahead and just crossed this whole season off the list of things that would go well, but I mean, look at us now. We just beat number 9 or number 12.
Kind of expect them to win every time they go out. I guess they got Florida State this weekend, mm-hmm. and the big game with Duke is next week.
Yeah, so, that's going to be tough. I mean, you're essentially playing an NBA team at that point, so
we'll see.
All
right, we'll be following them. Do you go to the games? Some of the games?
When I can get my hands on some tickets,
okay.
I'm always up for it.
Well, there's a lot of them available. You know, the attendance is way down this year. And if you want to sit up in the nosebleed seats, which I do not.
I don't either. I'll take my seat on the couch.
All right. Well, I was especially interested. I follow state politics, and we got a governor's race coming up, and the candidates have to come up with ways to get in their names in the media. That's the game right now. You know who's running for governor?
It's Adam Edelin.
Adam Edelin he's one of three Democratic candidates. Rocky Atkins, who's been on this show, and Andy Beshear, who's not been, but is not my favorite. But Adam Edelin came out with something I like today, because his running mate's Gil Holland, who you know, right, and has the Rusty Satellite record for appearances on the show, and we'll probably do him again very soon. But Edelin is going to announce he's standing up to Big Tobacco. Risky thing to do in Kentucky.
Absolutely, yeah.
But, you know, the thing that I find interesting about it, number one, there's not a statewide smoking ban in Kentucky. So if you go down to, like, Bullitt County, you ever gone to a restaurant in Bullitt County? Like, I've gone down to the Tumbleweed right over the state, over the county line down there.
Yeah.
It's so weird. You walk in and people are smoking.
Down in the sticks.
They're all over the place smoking. And, you know, it's like, oh.
Yeah.
That's what it was like when I was growing up and my parents took me to restaurants.
Culture shock.
It's
living in Louisville.
It's shocking to see, or you walk in and they say smoking or non-smoking. Yeah. Really? You still do that?
Yeah.
But anyway, Edelin announced this week that he wants to have a statewide smoking ban, and he wants to raise the taxes on cigarettes from 62 cents to $1.72. Of course, I'm always in favor of these things. They never pass because of the rural legislators that Kentucky has that are mired in the past. It will be. That's my editorial comment on that. Did you know that there are only 12 states that don't have a smoking ban?
I didn't know that, but I could probably guess that.
The race to the bottom, Kentucky is going to be the last probably, because I don't. As much as I'd love for Edelin to get elected, and as much as I'd love for him to put this thing forward, not going to happen. High school, and now you're not that far removed from high school, Sam.
No, graduated in 2010.
We are, Kentucky high school students are number two in smoking rate in the country.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never.
Why do these high school kids smoke?
It's a cool thing to do.
Really?
I guess in high school.
Did you ever try?
I did. I never really had a habit formed. You know, it would always be something, you know, I'd pick one up at a party here and there, but I never really made it a thing.
Well, stay away
from
that. Fortunately, yeah. Oh, yeah, it's crazy that such a destructive, terrible habit.
Hooks you in.
It does, I guess. I never actually tried it. So I'm always interested in journalism, Sam. I guess you are too.
I am.
What did you major in at U of L?
Marketing, and I took a fair bit of psychology as well. So, you know, just,
okay,
you know, got an inside look.
Well, we all know how important journalism is in our society, and there, just in the last, just since the turn of the year, nationally, you've read a lot of stories about people laying off journalists, and like Insider Louisville is an online journalism operation, media site, and they made a big announcement this week that three of their top leaders are leaving. And one of the reasons they're deciding to leave the paper is they don't want their salaries to remain there and have to cut journalists over there. They got about nine at Insider Louisville. So Tom Cottingham, who I know, and John Piles, who I know, they've resigned so that they can keep all these people writing, which is good.
Yeah,
which is good, but it's bad overall,
right?
Because
not good for everybody.
It says that they went a year ago to a nonprofit model from just trying to sell ads and make it that way. They went to a nonprofit model where they try to get people to donate, and you know, they raised a lot of money. But it's an ongoing thing to have the money to keep that operation going. So very interesting that they did that. Speaking of journalism, I want to mention real quick, I occasionally make recommendations. HBO has a documentary called Deadline Artists. It's about basically everything that happened, a major thing that happened in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, I guess, from the point of view of Jimmy Breslin and Pete Hamill, who are two of my favorite artists, authors. I've read novels and books from those guys, and they are legends. And no longer really doing work. Breslin passed away a few years ago. Hamill was still alive, but he's like 83. But very interesting documentary. I highly recommend it if you're interested in journalism, especially the history of journalism. It's good. You'll watch it, right, Sam?
Yeah, I'll check it out.
Check it out.
Head to the video store after this.
No, you got to get HBO. You know, that's a thing. You know, all the things in our lives that were a big thing at one time and now aren't. You know, I think the way we watch TV. Because I don't ever watch TV.
I never watch TV. But at the same time, I can appreciate. I work for a news station in town, and so I understand that there's a big following. You know, people watching the news and just the sitcoms that are out these days. You know, if you can get that all on Netflix on demand, that kind of stuff.
My thing is why would you watch anything with commercials in it when there is great programming?
Oh yeah,
that doesn't have it. You know, and all you have to have a few subscriptions, whatever. But I'll catch the local news sometimes, but
stay informed. I understand, but it's all streaming these days. You know.
Exactly. You watch it when you want to, and you pay attention when you want to, and you ignore things when you want to. We always had controversy around here. U of L, like watching basketball games, it's become fairly easy. But they had a few games that, they're on different networks every time, and you can't find them. And what are you going to do? I think it's first world challenges, right?
Absolutely.
We can pretty much watch anything we want to watch.
Yeah. I'm a big Louisville basketball fan, and I'll watch the games if it's in front of me, but a lot of times I'm on the go or I've got a meeting or something else, I'm at dinner, and I'll just pull up an app and
watch it on your phone
of the game cast. Yeah,
exactly. We were Monday night for that Virginia Tech game is kind of funny. I bowl on Monday nights out at 10 pin lanes, and the game was going on while we were bowling, and we had the real TVs were like blurry and far away from where we were sitting, and so me and my pal Mark Heber, we put the game on our phone and followed the stats on one phone and followed the live action on the other.
It's a pro move.
Yeah, we were really cool.
Yeah.
So we kept up with what was going on.
You could sell that in certain venues.
Yeah, so I don't recommend, but sometimes you're doing something and there's something on that's live that you want to watch, and you could record it or whatever. But anyway, you got anything you watch on TV that you like?
Mostly sports, and I get my news in mostly video form, YouTube, or
don't follow any like binge watching series or stuff like that.
I try to stay away from it. I got hooked in pretty good to Mad Men a few years back, and I watched it twice over, and I know the road you go down whenever you find a show you're really hooked into. You're there
all the time.
You can be. So
yeah, my son Josh, who's about your age, he is he's a big fan of TV. I know his list of the top five series of all time, starting with The Wire.
Oh, yeah.
is his number one.
Great
he
show.
Has Mad Men way up on his list. When you said Mad Men, I thought
it's so good. Yeah, it's just. There's a lot of good things that come with finding a show you really like enough to binge watch, but there's also, you got to pay the piper. You're sitting on the couch getting sores.
It's time. It's time, I tell you. All right, well, speaking of TV, let's move on to Melissa Swan, who you probably grew up with, right? She's always on TV.
I remember seeing her on the tube, yeah.
Okay, well, she was right in your seat a mere 24 hours ago talking to me about what she's been doing with her life. Since she got out of TV news, and she's very happy. She's a new grandmother, and she has dealt with some issues in her life and is now ready to get things going. And we talked about doing a podcast for her, which would be called Swan Dive. Great name. She came up with it, not me.
Catchy.
Anyway, you can hear it all from her right here on the Rusty Satellite Show. Here is my interview with Melissa Swan.
Heiser Health, your complete health source for preventative medicine and optimum health. Visit the experts of medical doctors and nurse practitioners so they can evaluate your overall health and your health as you age. Heiser Health uses the primary preventative technique of nutrition with real food and effective exercise. If you qualify, you may need hormone replacement to optimize your health. Call the experts at Heiser Health, 502-882-4252.
And back here in the Louisville AM studios, I am here with an old friend, Melissa Swan. Glad to see you again.
Hello.
And you've been a busy girl. It's been 3 years, can you believe it, since you signed off on WHAS-TV as their anchor, as one of the main anchors over there. What have you been doing?
I can't believe it's been that long. Mm-hmm. Gee, what haven't I been doing? I immediately set up a company, Swan Communications, and started doing speeches and emceeing events. And then life kind of took over.
Mm-hmm. I remember you came and spoke at the Breakfast of Champions.
Yes, I did.
Shame on you for not coming back. I haven't seen you since.
I will I will come to speak or listen very soon. You know, that's very early. When you spend your life working the 11 o'clock news.
You sleep in now.
You sleep in now, yes. All right. You do. You sleep in. But no, when I say life took over, my daughter got married that same year.
Yay.
The following year, both my parents were sick and both passed away. And that was an incredibly, it was difficult year. It was time-consuming year. It was, when you take care of parents who are ailing and dying, it takes over your life.
Sure. It takes a lot out of you.
It really does. And I've talked to so many people who are going through it or have gone through it, and it's remarkable kind of how insulated you become, because your day is to do this, to go here. And I was very, very fortunate. All my siblings were very fortunate in that our parents lived really long, healthy lives, and we only did this for a few months.
Sure.
Once they became sick, they became very sick. And so my parents passed away, and then the following year, my daughter had a baby. So it was the circle of life. The last 3 years have been the circle of life for me.
And you were, I understand, up all night last night being a grandma.
I was.
Right?
I was.
You hate that, don't you?
Yeah. He is the love of my life, excuse to everyone else who's in my life. But, yeah, right now he's the star. And his mom and dad, he's teething, and his mom and dad hadn't had any sleep for a while. So I said, no, I'll go over and I'll just get up with him during the night. He was perfect. I was the one waking up once an hour, checking the monitor to make sure the kid's okay, you know. And you can't see them breathe. You cannot see them breathe. You look at this monitor, and you look at this monitor, and you see breathing. Is it? Well, of course he's breathing, but he was perfect, and he only woke up a couple of times, and I was awake just about every hour. But
and I guess it's great how when you have a baby like that, everybody that's ever had a baby has some advice for you, right?
Oh, yes, yes. And the thing is, when you're the grandmother, and every new grandmother out there will know what I'm talking about, you be very careful about the advice you give.
Mm-hmm.
You do not step on too many toes if you want to be invited back. You know, you do not tell them how to do things. In fact, yeah, my husband and I took a grandparenting class.
Ooh.
Yes.
You're overachievers.
Yes. Well, there were some other overachievers in there, some well-known ones. Maybe I'll get them in here one of these days, and we'll talk about it. But, yes, and the class was wonderful. I cannot speak highly enough of it, because what happens is that they don't do things the way we used to do things. Mm-hmm. When we had new babies, it's totally different. I mean, sleeping on the back as opposed to sleeping on the stomach, doing this, feeding. Well, it's totally different. And this woman giving this class taught us all of these things, to the point where I brought up the class so much that at one point my daughter said, I wish I'd taken that class. You know, that's how good it was. So I'm really appreciative.
World-class grandmother.
Of that class.
Okay,
yeah.
That's your new title.
Yes.
But you're working on other stuff. I know you volunteer a lot. In fact, I heard from you, you're involved in this Mayor's Give a Day thing, which I know about, right?
Mayor's Give a Day Week of Service is something I'm working very hard on, and almost every news outlet in town has heard from me several times. What we want to do with Mayor's Give a Day Week of Service is really increase the numbers of people. We have over 200,000 people who volunteer during that week, but we want to increase those numbers incredibly, and we want to make it top of mind about the compassion that's going on during that week.
Well, I've done a lot of written pieces about that and everything, and you know, your job for me is to find me something to do.
Okay.
All right. And I might do it.
I can. I can do that. And I can come back.
If it sounds fun, I'll do it.
I can come back closer to the week of service when we launch the website and everybody can start signing up and tell everyone how to do that. And, of course, the mayor. It's the mayor's. He started this. It's a wonderful program. And Mayor Fisher is, I think, you know, a true visionary where this comes in, because he has set up a board of directors, and this will outlive him. It will outlive all of us. I am convinced. I tell everyone the Kentucky Derby Festival started with a parade, and look at it now.
Yeah.
All of these years later, things evolve, and I believe that will happen to the mayor's Give a Day Week of Service as well.
Well, the mayor has been on the Rusty Satellite Show twice, and maybe you know, you can be the one that gets him on the third time.
I will. We'll do that. He loves that. To talk about it. It's a great cause, and so we'll be back. And I work.
He knows I'll sneak in some real questions. You know, so.
I'm sure he can handle the real questions.
He doesn't flinch a bit. He's pretty good. So great. So that's a big thing you've been doing. You and I have been talking about a lot of stuff the last 2 days, including the possibility of getting you back in the media right here at the Louisville.am network.
I think I'm going to do that. I'm very intrigued by podcasts, and I have been listening to a lot of them. It seems like I listen to them several times a day. And
your favorite is?
My favorite is yours, of course. The Rusty Satellite.
Right answer.
Yes. I've been listening to several others. Some my colleagues are doing. Some are national. Some, you know, just quirky ones that are out there. And I started in radio, and I loved radio. And then I went over to the television side. And I thought, you know, this is high-tech radio. That's what it is, sitting down and talking to someone. And what I like about it is that you can take a subject and then you can do a deep dive into that subject and talk about things that maybe don't get in print or don't get on television. They are a little bit deeper, maybe, about the person who did the reporting or the person who you just never know where a conversation is going to lead. And that was my favorite thing about being a journalist, was just sitting down and having a conversation with someone and really getting to know them. And I think that these past 3 years have given me a lot of fodder for conversations. I think there's a lot to be said about grief. I think there's a lot to be said about losing your parents. I think there's a lot to be said about being a grandmother. I think, you know, all of these topics and all of the things that have touched me and continue to touch me, I think would make great conversations. And not just great conversations because I've been through it, great conversations because I think we can impart advice and information for people who are going through these things.
Sure.
And of course, my interests aren't limited to being a daughter or being a grandparent, but I just see the world as a very interesting place. And I will be doing podcasts on hope. I'll be doing podcasts on women's issues and women's health and just a variety of things. Anything that I think is interesting, I think I'll turn into a podcast.
Wow. I think I've said that before about the Rusty Satellite Show, but it's interesting perspective, because all these, we were just talking about all the podcasts that are out there, and they're like millions of podcasts out there, but it seems like a great majority of them are hosted by men. And I think your perspective of of taking local issues or women's issues and talking about them, I think there's a big audience for that.
I think there is a huge audience for that, and I think that women's issues are just issues. Women are interested in everything, and while we might talk about things in particular, like being a daughter or being a grandmother, that women can relate to, the broad spectrum of topics out there also relate to women. I mean, we're interested in everything, and I think that my background and my schooling and all of the things that went together to make me a journalist in the first place will lend themselves to.
Well, sure, you're easy to talk to. People know who you are, and you've got all this great stuff.
Hope so.
Yeah. it's all the ingredients that you would mix in if you were looking for the perfect podcast host. And so I'm very optimistic that we're going to have a good, successful
I'm excited about it, and anybody out there can contact you, and if they're interested. Of course, the thing with podcasts is you look for sponsors, you look for guests, you look for... It's kind of like the beginning days of my radio career. You do it all.
Yeah.
And that is enticing and frightening at the same time. So I'm anxious to get started on the journey and see where it leads.
Yeah. Well, I'm very optimistic about where you're going to be, and you know it is you spent so many years behind the anchor desk, having people tell you what to say or going out and doing your own stories. Mm-hmm. It's like you get to do all the fun things without a boss.
Yeah, that's the and all the difficult things without a boss.
Exactly, too. it can be challenging, but it can also be a lot of fun. And you know, I certainly speak from experience. We're trying to grow this Louisville.am network, and excited to have you join and be a part of it. And anybody else out there that's got a good idea for a show, I know we've talked about some other show ideas. We're going to make the Louisville.am network a big thing.
Well, there's a lot going on in Louisville, and I think that there are a lot of people who also come through Louisville. This is something else that I think is a little bit of an untapped resource as far as podcasting is concerned. And sometimes you see it pop up on television, but not always. We have some incredible people who come through Louisville, authors and actors and all kinds of entertainment and scholars. There's just, I think, a lot of untapped resources out there that people come through Louisville and are very, very interesting. And we just like to know more about what they think and what they have to say.
Yeah, a lot of good content. We got to wrap it up here. What you say makes me think. My favorite. Everybody asks me. Always asks me. Who is your favorite guest? You know, I've had over 500 of them, and I always say Paul Thorne, my favorite musician, who you probably don't know, but he was so funny, and just highly entertaining. He's from Tupelo, Mississippi, birthplace of Elvis. He'll quickly tell you if you get him. So it'll be great to work with you on guests and see who you bring in. And we don't have a starting date yet. We're working on that, working on all the components of the podcast. But it's going to happen, right?
It is going to happen. And as soon as my all of my volunteer work slows down, which has been wonderful, then we'll get going.
Okay, Melissa, thanks for coming into the Louisville.am studios. And we'll be speaking very soon.
Okay.
And we're back on the Rusty Satellite Show. This is Sam Heine here with Rick Redding.
Wow, you're a natural, Sam. I think you're going to make it in this business.
I've been practicing that in the mirror for the last couple of days. So.
Well, that's good. That's good. Well, a big thank you to Melissa Swan for coming by and being part of the show. I'm looking forward to working with her in the near future on a potential Louisville.am podcast. And if you're out there listening and are curious about podcasting, certainly I would love to talk to you about putting one together for you. It's easy. It's easy to do. So also Kevin Grangier, I can't wait to make a reservation at Grasa Grama and get out there and try some of that great food out there. I love his, he said in the interview he had four pillars of success And it was like alcohol, food, service, something else.
It's the magic combo. I don't know. Say no more.
Go back and listen.
It's the magic combo.
He does it right. I tell you, there's no more successful restaurateur in town than Kevin Grangier. So that's how we do the podcast here, Sam. You got any thoughts? Anything coming up this weekend you're looking forward to?
Nothing this weekend. It's taking it easy, but yeah, I appreciate you having me on. It's a good experience. You got quite the setup in here.
All right. Yeah. The big Louisville.am studios. We are going strong 292 consecutive weeks, and it wouldn't happen without the help of my sponsors, Passport Health Plan, Heiser Health, and the Eye Care Institute. Give Eye Care Institute a call at 589-1500, and you can figure out how to get LASIK like I did last summer. It was really great. And, in fact, coming up very soon, in fact, it starts this weekend, is the Jewish Film Festival. Mark Prussian, the CEO of Eye Care Institute, was on the show last week talking about the great films in the Jewish Film Festival. You can look it up online, pick out one you want to see, and it is it's a really great event for the city. So that's one thing to do if you're not going to curl up inside and watch basketball. Right?
Also a great thing to do.
That's right. Another good thing. So, Sam, that's going to do it for this episode of the Rusty Satellite Show. Thanks for coming in and being on the show.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. Rick will be back in the Louisville.am studio with two more of the most interesting people in the Ville next week. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. To suggest a future guest or inquire about doing your own podcast, get in touch with Rick through Facebook or Twitter, or send an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. To see the full list of guests who have appeared on the show since 2013, go to rustysatelliteshow.com.